Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
I just need to know who got the bail money, because I'm going to jail today. I'm telling you now, I am going to be incarcerated because I told Paul, I said, listen, Paul McGuire Grimes, when The Color Purple comes out and you get a chance to interview Fantasia, Tarashi, and all the cast and characters, including Oprah from the musical that comes out on Christmas Day, just let me hang behind the curtain. Hide me under the sofa. I just want to be in the room. I would like to know what Oprah smells like. Now, I go on my social media channels yesterday, and I see that Paul has interviewed the entire cast of The Color Purple. I mean, they're laughing, they're talking. He's got playbills from when Coleman was here in the Twin Cities doing a performance. And they're just having a good old time yucking it up. Now, I know Paul has my phone number. I know he has my email address. He has all my social media channels. He knows how to reach me. But somehow, when Paul was getting ready to interview the entire cast of The Color Purple, because he interviewed everybody, he forgot to call me. So I brought him on my show to give him a chance to explain himself before I do him harm. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Shaletta.
Hey,
how are you? Hi. I think those Bundrick babies forgot to give you my message.
Do you know what to do? Don't put it on the kids. Don't you put it on the kids.
They must not have told you I called you. I was a superior kid, too.
Don't you make me put my kids in foster care. Don't you make me do it. I tell them all the time, you keep cutting up. You're going to, you're going to foster care. Paul, oh my God. I was just so, I must have watched these interviews about 10 times. I was so excited for you to interview entire cast of The Color Purple. Tell me what that experience was like. Because, okay, you got to tell me why they separated the women and the guys. They had like Harpo and Mister, and that was it. And then they had the lady, Shug, and Sophia, and Celie. You know, so they separated the interviews. I didn't like that part. I wanted everybody to be in the room together.
Well, you know, where do we even begin with this? These interviews for me were some of the most affirming interviews that I have done in a long time. Not only just like professionally and me getting the chance to do that, but their conversations about what The Color Purple by Alice Walker means to them, what it meant to be in this movie, what it meant to be working together. And you could just feel the love and the passion that they not only had together as a cast, but also they want to do this material right. And you can see how this story just transcends decades, generations, and you can tell it in a novel, in a movie, in a musical on Broadway, in a movie musical. So you can tell it in different mediums and have it reach someone just a little bit differently. And to see Taraji talk, you know, I asked her, you know, what? So there's a big song at the end of the movie called I'm here. That Fantasia sings as Steely. Right. Mm-hmm. And I said to all three of the ladies, when did you know, whether personally or professionally, that you could say, I'm here? And Fantasia gave a great answer. Danielle talked about being in Orange is the New Black and realizing that, like, there's space for everyone. You know, she can be with Taraji and Viola. There's space for everyone. And then Taraji talked about the story of being overseas promoting Empire because they weren't even going to have Empire overseas because they said the industry says that Black doesn't travel overseas. And then people overseas were watching it, downloading it, and then they brought it over there, and she was doing a press conference, and everyone was applauding her. They stood up on their feet talking about Taraji, and then she went outside and saw all of everyone rooting for her, and she knew, like, yes, I'm here. And it was just like this affirmation that they all had was beautiful. And then to talk to Coleman and Corey about, Corey didn't even have to audition to play Harpo. He's such an amazing, talented, you know, Broadway actor and Juilliard actor. He didn't even have to audition for the role. And then to have Coleman talk about what the novel means to him. You know, we talked a little bit about him being at the Guthrie Theater here in Minneapolis, and it was phenomenal.
Oh, and they were great. Gosh. Okay, so how did they pull you out of that room? How did they pull you out of that room? Because I'd still be there asking questions.
Well, I want to. That was what we were all kind of talking about. And, it, you know, behind the scenes, like, hey, you get 4 minutes, and they are tight. Like, they are toning you down as you're delivering. So you're talking to the talent, and you have someone literally behind them off to the side counting you down. What, 2 minutes, 1 minute, wrap. And I'm just like, how can I squeeze another question? How can I get the most out of them? So then us reporters are in the hallway like, hey, how many questions did you get in? What are your thoughts are? Maybe ask them one question, all three can answer. It was like, how can we make the most of all of their time so that we can get stuff, they get to answer, they get to talk and share their stories. I mean, I could have sat there, Coleman and Corey. So here's a little backstage story. So Coleman... We were talking about the Guthrie. So after we were done with the interview, I had the playbill from the Guthrie because we talked about it during the interview. And he's like, do you want me to sign that? And I was like, well, yeah, I would love to, but I don't want to wait. I don't want to take up your time because I had a flight sketch. They were shuffling people in and out of those rooms. They were on lunch break. They were coming up on a lunch break. So Coleman then took the time to sign my program. And then I still had the ticket inside of the program. He signed the ticket as well. And we just had a really genuine, like, great moment together. And he is, if people don't know Coleman Domingo, he's a Emmy winner from Euphoria. He's been on Broadway in the Scottsboro Boys. He's done a ton of movies. He's in a movie right now on Netflix called Rustin, which he plays Bayard Rustin. I want everyone to see it. It's an amazing movie. And then for him to play Mr. in Color Purple is just another really great crowning achievement for him. I do think that he will get a Best Actor nomination for Rustin. He's been nominated a lot already this season, maybe a Best Supporting Actor for The Color Purple, but to have him in both these roles right now is just, I want everyone to know the name Coleman Domingo if they don't already.
Okay, now let's get to the actual movie. Tell me what you thought of Color Purple, the musical.
I really enjoyed it. I have not had a chance to see the musical on stage, so I can't, you know, necessarily compare the movie to the musical, but I think that they did a really great job of telling the story, highlighting different elements that maybe we couldn't do in the Spielberg movie, that maybe we couldn't do on stage, and letting these actors shine. Fantasia Barrino is so stunning as Celie. She played the role on Broadway back in 2007 and then did the national tour. So then to see her play the role again with a little bit more depth, to have some life experience under her belt, these, you know, since then, was really enriching. Taraji plays Suge Avery, and she knows how to make an entrance. When she comes in to sing Push the Button, she's got this gorgeous red dress on with the feather hat, and she's fantastic. Danielle Brooks, who plays Sophia, born to play the role of Sophia, she is phenomenal. And, like, it's really moving. Now, I have a music theater background, so, like, I was still kind of, like, thinking about the music element of it. And the music, if people don't know the music in it, I do think that it comes across as more spiritual, as more soul, blues, than your traditional Broadway musical. This isn't necessarily... There's a lot of choreography in the movie, but it's not, like, a razzle-dazzle type of show. So I think that the music and the music numbers are still kept a little bit more realistic. I do think that those numbers could have been a little a little elevated, a little more heightened, just to get the movie a little bit different pacing, some more highs and lows. Some of it felt a little flat, mm-hmm. but I do think overall that they do a great job of presenting the story. And you do get to expand a little bit on the Suge-Seeley relationship. And what does Suge mean to Seeley? And how does Seeley break free from Mister because of what Suge means to her? And I think all of that is well captured here that you couldn't maybe really do on screen before.
Yeah, they did not explore that at all. It was kind of a question mark. And so many yes. people who saw the original movie who did not read the book were very confused. And so I yeah. was glad that they were able to elaborate on that relationship,
yes.
That they were able to put that in the spotlight because, you know, I remember even watching it as a, you know, because I was a young girl when the movie came out, but I remember mm-hmm. going with, you know, my family. It was a, you know, kind of a destination event like it
yeah.
is now, right?
Yeah,
And we went, and I was like, so are they just friends? What's going on over here? You know, there's
you
more
really
to it than this,
exactly.
but they're really,
yes,
yeah. So it is really good that, you know, that these characters are able to live out the true meaning of the characters in the book. And that we're living in a society today where people can just be free to love
exactly.
and be who they authentically are. And yeah. I appreciate the realness of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I hope people that go see the movie musical know that it is a musical, that it's, and try
yeah,
not
okay.
to compare
so,
it to the
so
movie.
Say, right. When you talk to the people are online mad because it's a musical. I was like, they say it in the title. It says Color Purple, the musical. Did you not see that part?
I know. I've been on TikTok and I've been seeing people coming out of the theater reviewing it. I'm like, did you not know this was a musical? And I also don't want people to compare it to Spielberg's movie because that's a movie that was made in 1985. You do things differently now and you can play around with different things. And if you're just comparing movie to movie, you're kind of missing out on letting this cast, its director, Blitz Bazzaluli, have their moment, shine, and do what they can do with the material. You know, when you start comparing left and right, or you're comparing Fantasia to Whoopi, or you're comparing Danielle to Oprah, I think you're doing a disservice to this cast and all of the creative talent behind this movie.
Okay, so when you look at the movie, what was the highlight of it for you?
Oh man, I think the highlight really is Danielle Brooks as Sophia. She just is an absolute force. I know she's going to get an Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actress. And there's a scene at a dinner table in the climax. I don't want to give away too much, but just to see like all of the women and like the sisterhood of the story come together in one scene, it was breathtaking and just great. And then the ending is really beautiful too. And you can see the ending in the trailer,
okay,
but I don't want to give it away, but it's a very beautiful moment.
Okay, so you have to tell me this. Somebody said that Sierra was in the movie. Now, I have
yes.
not gone to see Color Purple, the musical, yet, mm-hmm. but I was wondering, why is she on the red carpet with a big old sparkly belly? What is she doing in all the social media posts? Why? I thought she was like me, like a hanger-on. Like, if you would have took me with you, I would have just been like a hanger-on, like I'm with him.
Right.
So I thought maybe she was like, I'm with Fantasia, or I'm with,
yeah,
you know,
she had
Taraji. But then somebody
yeah.
said, no, she's in the movie.
She plays adult Nutty. So Halle Bailey plays her as a child, and then she plays her as an adult, who we see at the very end. And then John Batiste is also in it. If people know who John Batiste is,
what?
He also has a
yes.
small role in the film too, who I love. He's phenomenal.
Oh, I can't wait to go and see it. I'm probably gonna go and check it out after I get off the air so we can compare notes. But
please,
I want to keep
do.
You around for another segment because I have to talk to you about something. You know, Taraji's been making the rounds. She's been talking about pay disparities.
Yes.
And you know, when you start talking about Black women and pay disparities and how less she was paid for roles, how she has to demand her worth and still only get a fraction of that, and you know,
mm-hmm.
as she's doing these media interviews, she's continuing to shine a light on that. I want to hear your take on it, and we're going to continue that discussion coming up next. Taraji says the math ain't mathin' on pay equity in Hollywood for Black women. She shared her frustrations about the persistent gender and racial pay gap. While she has been promoting The Color Purple, I've got my friend Paul, Twin Cities movie critic here, joining me on the show. And Paul, she's been talking about this every chance she gets. When she is on stage and there is a microphone in her face, she is talking about this pay equity issue in Hollywood for Black women, even tearing up when she discusses it. And I know you only have 4 minutes. Was that some of what you talked about in your interview with her when you were talking about The Color Purple?
No, I did not get a chance because that 4 minutes just flew by so fast. But I am so happy that she is talking about it, because not enough people do talk about it. And we started to have those conversations, different types of conversations like that, when the SAG-AFTRA strike and the WGA strike was going on, which was a lot about pay inequity and residuals and all that. So I'm glad that Taraji can break it down even further to talk about the pay disparity amongst Black actresses and where that all goes to. I think some people here in Hollywood, oh, she works in Hollywood, they make billions and billions of dollars, and then they forget, no, that's actually not the truth. And here's where all that money has to go to. So it really doesn't come out like a lot. And she now has, I mean, yes, she was an empire. She was able to talk about that back then. But now that she's been able to talk about it again, she's bringing it up again any chance she gets. So the more that we can talk about it, the more we can understand it to hopefully make things different and make things better and more equitable.
And, you know, it is just so stunning to hear how, you know, she was in Benjamin Button with Brad Pitt, and, you know, she was able to bump her salary up to $150,000, but that was far below the $500,000 that she was expecting to make as the third billed actor of this movie. And you and I both know what Brad made. Well, what did he get, like $10 million or something? It was ridiculous.
At least, yeah. I mean, you know, she was coming off of Hustle and Flow. She'd been performed on the Oscars, and then she gets a chance to work with Brad and David Fincher to do Kirsten Kiss and Benjamin Bowman, slayed it, was so good in that movie, got an Oscar nomination for that movie, but was paid pennies compared to Brad, Kate Blanchett. And, you know, even going into this movie, she was so lowballed quite a bit because the industry thinks that they can do it. So now she's talking about it. And I think the outcome of her talking about it, on the one hand, can bring awareness, but then people are very quick to tear her down again, because Oprah Winfrey is a producer on the movie, same as Steven Spielberg, same as Quincy Jones, and they want to tear the two of them apart and say, with Taraji talking about pay disparity, she must be feuding with Oprah. And then you have all these rumors right now about a feud between them, which I think is so disappointing to hear, because I don't believe it, but it's also disappointing that people even want to go there and try to bring that up.
Well, you know, it's easier to talk about a rumor. It's easier to talk about a feud than it is to actually address the issue. It's kind of like my kids. If we're talking about something and a squirrel or a dog pass by, it's over. It's a wrap. We can't continue to have our discussion because their attention is focused and drawn somewhere else. It's a smoke screen. And so instead of talking about the pay disparity, we're talking about whether Taraji is mad at Oprah and reading body language and photos and videos and pictures. And what we really should be talking about is how unfair the system is. And then we see, you know, Black female actresses who stop working, or, you know, who can barely make ends meet, or who die poor and penniless. And you're thinking, well, wait a minute, they were in all these blockbuster movies. They were, you know, the top actresses in so many opportunities. Why didn't they save their money? You know, but a lot of times people don't tell the truth about what they make. They don't tell the whole story because they don't want to be blackballed, Paul. Nobody, you know, you don't want to be the angry Black lady.
Well, yes, you know, you're absolutely right on that, because as soon as you start speaking out, it's, well, why can't you just be grateful? Why can't you just accept what you're given? Why can't you just be happy? You know, I think so many people are told that, and it's even worse for women of color, that, you know, you can't speak up, or else you're going to be lowballed or blackballed or not work again, because they don't want to, they could find someone else that will work for even less, which is so disappointing.
And you see it now already. You know, people are saying, we're tired of hearing about it. Would she stop talking about it? You, like you said, can't you just be grateful to be in the movie? But if nobody's talking about it, then nothing is going to change, Paul.
Correct. How do you make change if you don't talk about the issues? And this is why I like when people use their platform to talk about important issues. You know, when people are accepting awards and they want to talk about something that matters, great, good on them. Like, they've got a platform, they can use it. And if they're a person of power like Taraji is, she should be talking about these things. And I applaud her so much for talking about them, because she's got people that will listen, and she's got clout in the industry of hopefully making change. And then she can inspire others. She can inspire Danielle Brooks to put her foot down. She can inspire someone like maybe Dave Andre Randall to put her foot down. You know, they can all come together and say, no, we're not putting up with this anymore.
And it's going to take all of us to work together. I do a lot of speaking in the Twin Cities. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times, Paul, people will say, well, can you come and be our featured speaker at this MLK event? This was just, you know, this earlier this month. And I said, well, here's what I charge. And they said, well, we are not accustomed to paying speakers. We don't have a budget for that. I said, well, wait a minute. You got a budget for the chairs. You got a budget for security. You got a budget for the room. You got a budget for the sound system, the entertainment, the decorations, the publicity. But you don't have a budget for me.
For the actual.
So when you got to me, you got broke. And so what I'm doing is I'm telling, you know, other female speakers, black women like Miss Shannon and Jasmine and so many others. I'm like, girl, don't go up in there and speak for free. You decide what your worth is. You decide what you want to be paid, and then demand that. And if they don't want to pay you, then don't go. But if folks keep going for free, they're going to continue to do what they're doing. And I remember, Paul, it was like earlier this summer, I was on a panel, and there was one other African-American woman with me. And so we were talking, and I said, I just want to make sure you got your fee. And she said, what fee? I said, are they not paying you? She said, no, they didn't offer me any pay. Paul, look what I told the organizer. I said, now listen, you got a panel with five people. You have paid everybody except the black woman. I said, now I'm going to tell you this. I said, either you pay her or I'm going on social media and let everybody know that you didn't pay her. So you have a choice to make. The choice is yours. And I'm not even going to, Paul, I told him, I said, I'm not even going to tell her that I'm talking to you. I'm just going to wait for her to call me back and tell me that she got paid. But the choice is yours. You know, it's just, it's horrible that in the year 20 and 23 of our Lord, that these are still things that we have to deal with.
It is. And I feel like it happens even more in the entertainment industry. Like for you and I, as freelancers, sometimes we get asked, oh, can you make this appearance? Can you come here? Can you do that? And then you try to ask for what you're paid for, and there's not a budget for it, or we can't.
Mm-mm.
And I struggle with that myself, because I want to, I'm a yes man. I want to say yes.
You are so accommodating. You are so sweet. You are so sweet.
But that gets me in trouble, because then I'm not asking for my worth. And I that is a struggle of mine, and I'm trying to be better about that. But there are things I've turned down where I'm like, it's not going to pay. Like, I'm not going to walk away from my husband and my daughter to go do 8 hours for free.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And by the time you spend gas and you leave, you know, other opportunities to go and do something, your baby got to eat and
yes,
your baby got to go to college one day. And your baby, at last I checked, was not sewing her own clothes. She needs something to wear, Paul.
All
of that needs to all that comes from, you know, the work that you do. And so, you know, it's just really time that we change the culture of that being, you know, as common as it is.
Yeah. And that's, you know, what you just said there, that's kind of what Taraji talks about in her post about the math ain't math. And she talked about how I may get paid this, but then I also have to pay my agent. I have to pay my team. I have to pay my manager. I have to pay this. And what about my kids? And what about this person? And then the glam. Someone's got to do my hair. Someone's got to do my makeup. You know, like, there's so many people that work under her, that work for her, or there's people in Hollywood that work to help support their larger families, you know? So, yeah, a paycheck can only go so far.
And it ain't going no far if all you're getting paid is $150,000 for a movie, and
right.
that movie takes 8 months to do, and you can't pick up any other work,
right.
and the whole time you're still paying people. And then you wonder why these celebrities are doing Visa commercials and selling potato chips and coffee.
And they've got a liquor line.
Cereal.
They've got a, you know, tequila line to do.
They got hair care products.
Yeah.
They got lotions and bath bombs. It's like they don't got That's no it. Choice.
Yeah. I want to do an Irish whiskey line or a stout and be like, this is the Paul McGuire Grimes Irish whiskey. There's any distilleries out there that want to partner with me. Let's do it.
Well, I'm glad you are doing this show with me today. I love you.
Thanks,
Happy
Thank you. Love you too. All right, take care.
All right.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
I just need to know who got the bail money, because I'm going to jail today. I'm telling you now, I am going to be incarcerated because I told Paul, I said, listen, Paul McGuire Grimes, when The Color Purple comes out and you get a chance to interview Fantasia, Tarashi, and all the cast and characters, including Oprah from the musical that comes out on Christmas Day, just let me hang behind the curtain. Hide me under the sofa. I just want to be in the room. I would like to know what Oprah smells like. Now, I go on my social media channels yesterday, and I see that Paul has interviewed the entire cast of The Color Purple. I mean, they're laughing, they're talking. He's got playbills from when Coleman was here in the Twin Cities doing a performance. And they're just having a good old time yucking it up. Now, I know Paul has my phone number. I know he has my email address. He has all my social media channels. He knows how to reach me. But somehow, when Paul was getting ready to interview the entire cast of The Color Purple, because he interviewed everybody, he forgot to call me. So I brought him on my show to give him a chance to explain himself before I do him harm. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Shaletta, how are you? Hi. I think those Bundrant babies forgot to give you my message.
Do you know what to Don't put it on the kids. Don't you put it on the kids.
They must not have told you I called you. I think they hear your kids too.
Don't you make me put my kids in foster care. Don't you make me do it. I tell them all the time, you keep cutting up, you're going to you're going to foster care. Paul, oh my God, I was just so, I must have watched these interviews about 10 times. I was so excited for you to interview the entire cast of The Color Purple. Tell me what that experience was like. Because, okay, you got to tell me why they separated the women and the guys. They had like Harpo and Mister, and that was it. And then they had the lady Suge and Sophia and Celie. You know, so they separated the interviews. I didn't like that part. I wanted everybody to be in the room together.
Well, you know, where do we even begin with this? These interviews for me were some of the most affirming interviews that I have done in a long time. Not only just like professionally and me getting the chance to do that, but their conversations about what The Color Purple by Alice Walker means to them, what it meant to be in this movie, what it meant to be working together. And you could just feel the love and the passion that they not only had together as a cast, but also they want to do this material right. And you can see how this story just transcends decades, generations, and you can tell it in a novel, in a movie, in a musical on Broadway, in a movie musical. So you can tell it in different mediums and have it reach someone just a little bit differently. And to see Taraji talk, you know, I asked her, you know, what? So there's a big song at the end of the movie called I'm Here that Fantasia sings as Celie. Mm-hmm. And I said to all three of the ladies, when did you know, whether personally or professionally, that you could say, I'm here. And Fantasia gave a great answer. Danielle talked about being in Orange is the New Black and realizing that, like, there's space for everyone. You know, she can be with Taraji and Viola. There's space for everyone. And then Taraji talked about the story of being overseas promoting Empire because they weren't even going to have Empire overseas because they said, the industry says that Black doesn't travel overseas. And then people overseas were watching it, downloading it, and then they brought it over there, and she was doing a press conference, and everyone was applauding her. They stood up on their feet talking about Taraji, and then she went outside and saw all of everyone rooting for her, and she knew, like, yes, I'm here. And it was just like this affirmation that they all had was beautiful. And then to talk to Coleman and Corey about, Corey didn't even have to audition to play Harpo. He's such an amazing, talented, you know, Broadway actor and Juilliard actor. He didn't even have to audition for the role. And then to have Coleman talk about what the novel means to him. You know, we talked a little bit about him being at the Guthrie Theater here in Minneapolis. And it was phenomenal, phenomenal.
Oh, and they were great. Gosh. Okay, and so how did they pull you out of that room? How did they pull you out of that room? Because I still be there asking questions.
Well, I want to. That was what we were all kind of talking about. And, it, you know, behind the scenes, like, you get 4 minutes, and they are tight. Like, they are toning you down as you're delivering. So you're talking to the talent, and you have someone literally behind them off to the side counting you down. What, 2 minutes, 1 minute, wrap. And I'm just like, how can I squeeze another question? How can I get the most out of them? So then us reporters are in the hallway like, hey, how many questions did you get in? What are your thoughts are? Maybe ask them one question and all three can answer. It was like, how can we make the most of all of their time so that we can get stuff, they get to answer, they get to talk and share their stories. I mean, I could have sat there, Coleman and Corey. And so here's a little backstage story. So Coleman... We were talking about the Guthrie. So after we were done with the interview, I had the playbill from the Guthrie because we talked about it during the interview. And he's like, do you want me to sign that? And I was like, well, yeah, I would love to, but I don't want to wait. I don't want to take up your time because I had a flight sketch. They were shuffling people in and out of those rooms. They were on lunch break. They were coming up on a lunch break. So Coleman then took the time to sign my program. And then I still had the ticket inside of the program. He signed the ticket as well. And we just had a really genuine, like, great moment together. And he is, if people don't know Coleman Domingo, he's a Emmy winner from Euphoria. He's been on Broadway in the Scottsboro Boys. He's done a ton of movies. He's in the movie right now on Netflix called Rustin, which he plays Bayard Rustin. I want everyone to see it. It's an amazing movie. And then for him to play Mr. in Color Purple is just another really great crowning achievement for him. I do think that he will get a Best Actor nomination for Rustin. He's been nominated a lot already this season, maybe a Best Supporting Actor for The Color Purple, but to have him in both these roles right now is just, I want everyone to know the name Coleman Domingo if they don't already.
Okay, now let's get to the actual movie. Tell me what you thought of Color Purple, the musical.
I really enjoyed it. I have not had a chance to see the musical on stage, so I can't, you know, necessarily compare the movie to the musical, but I think that they did a really great job of telling the story, highlighting different elements that maybe we couldn't do in the Spielberg movie, that maybe we couldn't do on stage, and letting these actors shine. Fantasia Barrino is so stunning as Celie. She played the role on Broadway back in 2007 and then did the national tour. So then to see her play the role again with a little bit more depth, to have some life experience under her belt, these, you know, since then, was really enriching. Taraji plays Suge Avery, and she knows how to make an entrance. When she comes in to sing Push the Button, she's got this gorgeous red dress on with the feather hat, and she's fantastic. Danielle Brooks, who plays Sophia, born to play the role of Sophia, she is phenomenal. And, like, it's really moving. Now, I have a music theater background, so, like, I was still kind of, like, thinking about the music element of it. And the music, if people don't know the music in it, I do think that it comes across as more spiritual, as more soul, blues, than your traditional Broadway musical. This isn't necessarily, there's a lot of choreography in the movie, but it's not like a razzle-dazzle type of show. So I think that the music and the music numbers are still kept a little bit more realistic. I do think that those numbers could have been a little elevated, a little more heightened, just to get the movie a little bit different pacing, some more highs and lows. Some of it felt a little flat, but I do think overall that they do a great job of presenting the story. And you do get to expand a little bit on the Suge Celie relationship. And what does Suge mean to Celie? And how does Celie break free from Mister because of what Suge means to her? And I think all of that is well captured here that you couldn't maybe really do on screen before.
Yeah, they did not explore that at all. It was kind of a question mark. And so many people who saw the original movie who did not read the book were very confused. And so I was glad that they were able to elaborate on that relationship, that they were able to put that in the spotlight. Because, you know, I remember even watching it as a, you know, because I was a young girl when the movie came out. But I remember going with, you know, my family. It was a, you know, kind of a destination event like it is now. Right. And we went, and I was like, so are they just friends? What's going on over here? You know, there's
you
more
really
to it than this, but they're really, So it is really good that, you know, that these characters are able to live out the true meaning of the characters in the book. And that we're living in a society today where people can just be free to love and be who they authentically are. And I appreciate the realness of that.
And I hope people that go see the movie musical know that it is a musical, that it's, and try
Spielberg
movie.
Right, when you talk to the people are online mad because it's a musical. I was like, they say it in the title, it says Color Purple the musical. Did you not see that part?
I know, I've been on TikTok and I've been seeing people coming out of the theater reviewing it. I'm like, did you not know this was a musical? And I also don't want people to compare it to Spielberg's movie, because that's a movie that was made in 1985. You do things differently now, and you can play around with different things. And if you're just comparing movie to movie, you're kind of missing out on letting this cast, its director, Blitz Bazalwoole, have their moment, shine, and do what they can do with the material. You know, when you start comparing left and right, or you're comparing Fantasia to Whoopi, or you're comparing Danielle to Oprah, I think you're doing a disservice to this cast and all of the creative talent behind this movie.
Okay, so when you look at the movie, what was the highlight of it for you?
Oh man, I think the highlight really is Danielle Brooks as Sophia. She just is an absolute force. I know she's going to get an Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actress. And there's a scene at a dinner table in the climax. I don't want to give away too much, but just to see like all of the women and like the sisterhood of the story come together in one scene, it was breathtaking and just great. And then the ending is really beautiful too. And you can see the ending in the trailer, but I don't want to give it away, but it's a very beautiful moment.
Okay, so you have to tell me this. Somebody said that Ciara was in the movie. Now, I have not gone to see Color Purple the musical yet, but I was wondering, why is she on the red carpet with her big old sparkly belly? What is she doing in all the social media posts? Why? I thought she was like me, like a hanger-on. Like, if you would have took me with you, I would have just been like a hanger-on, like I'm with him. Right. So I thought maybe she was like, I'm with Fantasia, or I'm with, Taraji. But then somebody said, no, she's in the movie.
She plays adult Nutty. So Halle Bailey plays her as a child, and then she plays her as an adult, who we see at the very end. And then John Batiste is also in it. If people know who John Batiste is, he also has a small role in the film too, who I love. He's phenomenal.
Oh, I can't wait to go and see it. I'm probably going to go and check it out after I get off the air so we can compare notes. But please, I want to keep you around for another segment because I have to talk to you about something. Taraji's been making the rounds. She's been talking about pay disparities. And, you know, when you start talking about Black women and pay disparities and how less she was paid for roles, how she has to demand her worth and still only get a fraction of that, and you know, as she's doing these media interviews, she's continuing to shine a light on that. I want to hear your take on it, and we're going to continue that discussion coming up next. Taraji says the math ain't mathing on pay equity in Hollywood for Black women. She shared her frustrations about the persistent gender and racial pay gap while she has been promoting The Color Purple. I've got my friend Paul, Twin Cities movie critic here, joining me on the show. And Paul, she's been talking about this every chance she gets. When she is on stage and there is a microphone in her face, she is talking about this pay equity issue in Hollywood for Black women, even tearing up when she discusses it. And I know you only have 4 minutes. Was that some of what you talked about in your interview with her when you were talking about The Color Purple?
No, I did not get a chance because that 4 minutes just flew by so fast. But I am so happy that she is talking about it because not enough people do talk about it. And we started to have those conversations, different types of conversations like that, when the SAG after strike and the WGA strike was going on, which was a lot about pay inequity and residuals and all that. So I'm glad that Taraji can break it down even further to talk about the pay disparity amongst Black actresses and where that all goes to. I think some people here in Hollywood, she works in Hollywood, they make billions and billions of dollars, and then they forget, no, that's actually not the truth. And here's where all that money has to go to. So it really doesn't come out like a lot. And she now has, she was an empire. She was able to talk about that back then. But now that she's been able to talk about it again, she's bringing it up again any chance she gets. So the more that we can talk about it, the more we can understand it to hopefully make things different and make things better and more equitable.
And, you know, it's just so stunning to hear how, you know, she was in Benjamin Button with Brad Pitt, and you know, she was able to bump her salary up to $150,000, but that was far below the $500,000 that she was expecting to make as the third billed actor of this movie. And you and I both know what Brad made. Well, what did he get, like $10 million or something? It was ridiculous.
At least. Yeah, I mean, you know, she was coming off of Hustle and Flow. She'd been she had performed on the Oscars, and then she gets a chance to work with Brad and David Fincher to do Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Slayed it, was so good in that movie, got an Oscar nomination for that movie, but was paid pennies compared to Brad, Cate Blanchett. And, you know, even going into this movie, she was so lowballed quite a bit because the industry thinks that they can do it. So now she's talking about it. And I think the outcome of her talking about it, on the one hand, can bring awareness, but then people are very quick to tear her down again because Oprah Winfrey is a producer on the movie, same as Steven Spielberg, same as Quincy Jones, and they want to tear the two of them apart and say, with Taraji talking about pay disparity, she must be feuding with Oprah. And then you have all these rumors right now about a feud between them, which I think is so disappointing to hear because I don't believe it, but it's also disappointing that people even want to go there and try to bring that up.
Well, you know, it's easier to talk about a rumor. It's easier to talk about a feud than it is to actually address the issue. It's kind of like my kids. If we're talking about something and a squirrel or a dog pass by, it's over. It's a wrap. We can't continue to have our discussion because their attention is focused and drawn somewhere else. It's a smoke screen. And so instead of talking about the pay disparity, we're talking about whether Taraji is mad at Oprah and reading body language and photos and videos and pictures. And what we really should be talking about is how unfair the system is. And then we see, you know, black female actresses who stop working, or, you know, who can barely make ends meet, or who die poor. And Penny, listen, you're thinking, well, wait a minute, they were in all these blockbuster movies. They were, right, you know, the top actresses in so many opportunities. Why didn't they save their money? You know, but a lot of times people don't tell the truth about what they make. They don't tell the whole story because they don't want to be blackballed, Paul. Nobody, you don't want to be the angry black lady.
Well, yes, you're absolutely right on that, because as soon as you start speaking out, it's, well, why can't you just be grateful? Why can't you just accept what you're given? Why can't you just be happy? You know, I think so many people are told that, and it's even worse for women of color, that, you know, you can't speak up or else you're going to be lowballed or blackballed or not work again, because they could find someone else that will work for even less, which is so disappointing.
And you see it now already. You know, people are saying, we're tired of hearing about it. Would she stop talking about it? Like you said, can't you just be grateful to be in the movie? But if nobody's talking about it, then nothing is going to change, Paul.
Correct. How do you make change if you don't talk about the issues? And this is why I like when people use their platform to talk about important issues. You know, when people are accepting awards and they want to talk about something that matters, great, good on them. Like, they've got a platform, they can use it. And if they're a person of power like Taraji is, she should be talking about these things. And I applaud her so much for talking about them, because she's got people that will listen, and she's got clout in the industry of hopefully making change. And then she can inspire others. She can inspire Danielle Brooks to put her foot down. She can inspire someone like maybe Dave Andre Randolph to put her foot down. You know, they could all come together and say, no, we're not putting up with this anymore.
And it's going to take all of us to work together. I do a lot of speaking in the Twin Cities. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times, Paul, people will say, well, can you come and be our featured speaker at this MLK event? This was just, you know, this earlier this month. And I said, well, here's what I charge. And they said, oh, well, we are not accustomed to paying speakers. We don't have a budget for that. I said, well, wait a minute. You got a budget for the chairs. You got a budget for security. You got a budget for the room. You got a budget for the sound system, the entertainment, the decorations, the publicity. But you don't have a budget for me.
For the actual,
so when you got to me, you got broke. And so what I'm doing is I'm telling, you know, other female speakers, black women like Miss Shannon and Jasmine and so many others. I'm like, girl, don't go up in there and speak for free. You decide what your worth is. You decide what you want to be paid, and then demand that. And absolutely, if they don't want to pay you, then don't go. But if folks keep going for free, they're going to continue to do what they're doing. And I remember, Paul, it was like earlier this summer, I was on a panel, and there was one other African-American woman with me. And so we were talking, and I said, I just want to make sure you got your fee. And she said, what fee? I said, are they not paying you? She said, no, they didn't offer me any pay. Paul, look what I told the organizer. I said, now listen, you got a panel with five people. You have paid everybody except the black woman. I said, now I'm going to tell you this. I said, either you pay her or I'm going on social media and let everybody know that you didn't pay her. So you have a choice to make. The choice is yours. And I'm not even going to, Paul, I told him, I said, I'm not even going to tell her that I'm talking to you. I'm just going to wait for her to call me back and tell me that she got paid. But the choice is yours. You know, it's just, it's horrible that in the year 20 and 23 of our Lord, that these are still things that we have to deal with.
It is. And I feel like it happens even more in the entertainment industry. Like for you and I, as freelancers, sometimes we get asked, oh, can you make this appearance? Can you come here? Can you do that? And then you try to ask for what you're paid for, and there's not a budget for it, or we can't. Mm-mm. And I struggle with that myself, because I'm a yes man. I want to say yes.
You are so accommodating. You are so sweet. You are so sweet.
But that gets me in trouble, because then I'm not asking for my worth. And I that is a struggle of mine, and I'm trying to be better about that. But there are things that I've turned down where I'm like, it's not going to pay. Like, I'm not going to walk away from my husband and my daughter to go do 8 hours for free.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And by the time you spend gas and you leave, you know, other opportunities to go and do something, your baby got to eat. And
yes,
your baby got to go to college one day, and your baby, last I checked, was not sewing her own clothes. She needs something to wear, Paul.
So all
of that needs to, all that comes from, you know, the work that you do. And so, you know, it's just really time that we change, the culture of that being, you know, as common as it is.
Yeah. And that's, you know, what you just said there, that's kind of what Taraji talks about in her post about the math ain't math. And she talked about how I may get paid this, but then I also have to pay my agent. I have to pay my team. I have to pay my manager. I have to pay this. And what about my kids? And what about this person? And then the glam. Someone's got to do my hair. Someone's got to do my makeup. You know, like, there's so many people that work under her, that work for her. Or there's people in Hollywood that work to help support their larger families, you know, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, a paycheck can only go so far.
And it ain't going no far if all you're getting paid is $150,000 for a movie, and that movie takes 8 months to do, and you can't pick up any other work, and the whole time you're still paying people. And then you wonder why these celebrities are doing Visa commercials and selling potato chips and coffee.
And they've got a liquor line. They've got a, you know,
tequila
line to do.
They got hair care products. They got lotions and bath bombs. It's like they don't got no choice.
Yeah. I want to do an Irish whiskey line or a stout and be like, this is the Paul McGuire Grimes Irish whiskey. There's any distilleries out there that want to partner with me. Let's do it.
Well, I'm glad you are doing this show with me today. I love you.
Thanks,
Happy
Thank you. Love you too. All right, take care.
All right.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.